Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's funny how current events can change our whole filmic vocabulary, adding new concepts and words to make images that would have been nonsense a decade ago instantly recognizable on today's movie screens. Most people think of technology advances like iPods or texting, online dating, digital photos, but unfortunately, some of the biggest stretches of our visual vocabulary is in images of war, violence, and death. During one of the darkest periods in American history that started less than a decade ago, following 9/11, the Bush-Cheney administration started a war on terror, which doesn't seem to have ended. Countless countries were invaded, bombs dropped, and a huge number of suspects were arrested, jailed, killed, or tortured. In general, these horrific events were kept away from American soil, but done by Americans under direct orders from the government. They also introduced new words and concepts to our vocabulary that previously might have only been used in horror novels. Clandestine prison camps, known as black sites, were set up across Europe and the Middle East. The undocumented suspects who were sent there to be tortured or interrogated were called ghost detainees. One of the torture techniques in which detainees were made to repeatedly suffer the sensation of death by drowning is now widely known as waterboarding. And Canada, in the meantime, also morphed into a nation at war without consciously deciding to make the big change from peacekeeper to bomber. And we're fighting on two fronts right now. So today, I'm looking at some movies from Poland, a country that certainly had more than its fair share violence and wars, to examine how war and violence has infiltrated daily lives. First, The Christening, directed by Marcin Wrona. Pardon my Polish. The movie opens with a soldier, face covered, being chased down by cops who beat him up and arrest him for unknown reasons. Then it flashes forward, and Janek is visiting his army buddy and best friend, Michal. They're together again to guzzle vodka and do Maori war chants, and when they go fishing, they use their old military experience throwing grenades into the lake to blow up as many fish as they can. Nice guys. Anyway, everything seems to be going great for Michal. He has a good job, a beautiful wife, Magna. He says they met in a hospital when she stitched a cut in his brow, and a little baby. So he's gone straight. He even offers to help his friend out, but Janek, he's happy just getting drunk and carousing around with his buddies. He doesn't want an office job. He makes good money stealing cars and stripping them down for parts. So there's a problem. Michal, that's the guy who's gone straight, apparently, seems to be hiding something. Someone's putting pressure on him, and he's showing up with a black eye, a beaten up body, and Janek doesn't understand what's happening. If there's a problem, you should tell him. He'll go beat the guy up, but Janek still loves a good brawl, but meanwhile, Magda, the wife, is sure everything is Janek's fault. He's dragging her husband into the gutter. Maybe Michal owed something to his army buddies, but she doesn't owe Janek anything. But her husband's dark secret, one of betrayal and duplicity, makes Michal feel both guilty and trapped. I'm trying hard not to give away the ending here. So he sets up a scheme to exit from his problems after the christening of the baby. That's why the movie's called The Christening. He thinks he's doomed, but maybe his best friend can replace him in his life. Will Janek stick by him? Who's the criminal here? The cops or the thugs? Who's the killer? Where does a person's loyalty really lie, and how far will you let it go? Well, The Christening is an extremely, I'd say, excessively violent movie. I get the feeling the director was influenced by directors like Tarantino, but in all the wrong ways. So you get characters like the gangster boss, Fat Man, who behaves like a sadistic killer and just seems to be there for the titillation of violence. But you get lots of horrible, gory, senseless, over-the-top fighting, but almost no humor, only melodrama to lighten the mood. Much better is a movie called Essential Killing, directed by Jerzy Skolimowski. In this movie, Mohammed, played by Vincent Gallo, a militant hiding out in the smooth caves of a lunar landscape, maybe Afghanistan, is startled to hear two American Marines in Desert Storm camouflage and beige burnouses approaching his cave. He pulls out his weapon and boom! The soldiers go down. He runs out to the sun to escape, but is taken down by helicopters and special ops soldiers. So now Muhammad is taken away to some unidentified place, a black site, where he's placed on his back screamed out in English, but he can't hear because his eardrums were busted in the big noises of the battle. And then he's waterboarded. Next time you see him, he's off with other prisoners on some snowy forest road. It looks sort of like Canada. And all of a sudden, there's an accident. He gets out of the truck, which rolled down a hill, grabs a gun, and starts this long, painful, violent trek through the woods of rural Poland. It becomes almost a fairy tale or a journey novel, but with a violent streak running through it. Muhammad encounters people like a huge-breasted woman on a bike with a baby, a friendly black-and-white dog, some drunken woodcutters, and a deaf-mute woman in a cottage who tends to his wounds, and a pale white horse as he tries to escape, survive, and get away in this glacier-covered snowy hills. He climbs snow-covered banks, slides off cliffs into rivers, hallucinates after eating poison berries, and conceals himself in the changing costumes he finds on the way of his journey. Essential Killing was directed by Skolimowski, who is one of the dialogue writers on Polanski's famous Knife in the Water. But this movie has almost no lines at all. It's not silent, but with both Muhammad and the U.S. soldiers far from their own homes, no one can understand each other. So the only talking is the locals around the dark site chatting in Polish about nothing in particular. So there's an aesthetically beautiful side to this bloody art movie. It's one of the very few action art films I've ever seen. I'm not a big fan of Vincent Gallo either, but he is fantastic in this as a pilgrim, alternately Christ-like and totally psychotic. This is an unexpectedly fantastic movie. But if you're going, beware, it's an art film, not a conventional Hollywood-style movie. And just in case this isn't enough violence for one weekend, the Japanese horror film Cold Fish also opens today at last. You can listen to my whole review online from last Halloween. I saw it at the Toronto Film Festival, but let me just say, it is the most hellaciously bloody, gory, horrifyingly absurdist exploitation movie I've ever seen. It left me physically shaking by the time I walked out of the theater. I'm not kidding. I was like shaking after its orgiastic tsunami of sex, blood, serial killing, and cannibalistic outrages that in a few days transformed the life of a mild-mannered tropical fish salesman to a victim and potential participant in this ultimate sex, blood, horror flick. So the christening, played last year's TIFF, isn't scheduled yet. Essential Killing and Cold Fish are opening today, April 1st, 2011, in Toronto. Check your local listings. And keep your eyes open for Toronto's Images Festival, which is on right now. Go to imagesfestival.com for the largest festival in North America for experimental and independent moving image culture. A lot of it's free, a lot of it's in galleries, and a lot of it's on the big screen. Video, film, and art. So you might want to check that out. Okay, this is Daniel Garber at the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturemining.com.